In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. With this really beautiful pause in our reflections on the usual beginning prayers, the basic Byzantine Catholic prayers, that pause was precipitated by having Sister Barbara Jean Mahalchik with us. Sister Barbara Jean is a nun of one of the sisters of St. Basil the Great, the very nuns that taught at our schools from its opening in 52 to its closing in right at the beginning of the 70s, very short-lived. I went with Sister Barbara Jean back to Uniontown, because as you saw me get all weepy last week, those of you that were here, the very nun who is responsible for my baptism, it's all her fault. If you don't like me, you can, go spit on her grave. Go do it. You could tell her. She died on Saturday morning. And so I got to go there, and the Archbishop of our church in the United States, who is going to be with us next summer, because the church in the United States is so proud of St. Mary's and what we've done together in cooperating with the Spirit in renewing this church, that this will be the site for a national gathering of Byzantine Catholics next summer. The Byzantine Catholic Assembly is an attempt by our church to gather together and focus in on how we can do church better, how we can do witness to the gospel better. They did it in Munhall outside of Pittsburgh a couple years ago. This past fall, they did it in New Jersey. And this year, it's the turn for the Eparchy of Parma to do it. And they came and they said, "Father Andrew, we see from far and wide what God is doing in Whiting. And we want to bottle it up, and we want to give it to our whole church. It'll be next July in 2025. But the reason any of this renewal is possible is through sacrifice. The only way back to righting any ship, righting a marriage relationship, righting our individual souls, is through sacrifice. That's why this Thursday, the canon of St. Andrew of Crete will be offered. We're going to go to Annunciation, anybody that wants. We're going to go Thursday night. It's 300 prostrations, and all it is a dialogue with the soul. "Oh, my soul, arise, why are you sleeping? Wake up and convert, because your salvation is closer at hand than when you accepted the faith." And so our church, nationwide, has seen the individual sacrifices that's been made. And it's through our accepting of the cross of renewal that joy can come to the whole world. The most important gift that I learned from Sister Agnes is sacrifice. What it means to be a Christian. And so when I went, I showed up 11 p.m. at night. I'm going to bed. Metropolitan William, supposed to celebrate the homily, calls me on the cell phone. He's like, "You're on for tomorrow." So it was my job to preach this sweet lady's funeral, instead of the head of our church, He just offloads it onto me. It's okay. Whatever. So I did it. You know what? Our church is 100 years old, technically, this year in the United States. Obviously, our church is 125 years old, but our basic structure in the United States, when we got split off from the Ukrainians, is 100 years old this year. Bishop Basil Takach He was appointed in 1924. In 1924, little bit time before that, the papal nuncio, the guy who reports back to the Pope and tries to organize the church in the United States, he wrote a letter to the Pope, and he's super fed up. He was fed up with this church. Obviously, we were one of them, because we were among the oldest in the entire nation. And he says, you know what? This church, I can't understand. All they ever do is think about themselves. The priests, they're just trying to feather their nests for their own household. And you know what they certainly don't do? They don't educate their children. They don't build schools. That was in 1921 he wrote that letter. You know it was founded in 1921? The Sisters of St. Basil the Great in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, Mother Macarena. And went about the business of gathering sisters at its height, 166 sisters, who taught us sacrifice, who taught us by building up of institutions so that we could have a school. So children, all of you who are now adults, if you would have had the privilege of going to this school, would have made Byzantine Catholic Christianity a part of your daily experience. And when you let that happen, whether it's through a school that's now torn down, or whether it's through a little book of prayer, you let something marvelous in. You left the Holy Spirit in. That's why the first prayer that we pray is a prayer to the Holy Spirit. That begins it all. It begins the liturgy. It begins all the hours. It begins the beginning of our day, and it bookends our day. Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, everywhere present and filling all things, Treasury of blessings and giver of life, come and dwell within us, cleanse us of all stain, and save our souls, O gracious one. Heavenly King, to have a king is somebody that rules your life. Tsaryu nebesny, we say in Slavonic. Tsar, same word. Now we know tsars. Putin wants to be a tsar. And you know how he wants to rule? Through law and order, might makes right, and through the violent assertion of his will on top of you, pressing upon you. If you're a Ukrainian, might just choke you out. All the Ukrainian Catholic bishops of its synod been in Washington this week to advocate for the suffocation of a dastardly man who wants to be tsar. Не є царю небесний. Не є. He is not the heavenly king. Because he wants to press upon us from without. But this king wants to rule us from within. And when he rules us with this end, he can do marvelous things. He can be a paraklete, parakletos. It's a rather complicated word. We say comforter can also mean advocate. It's the spirit that Jesus promises in the Gospel of John that the Father and he will send. And he can advocate for us back to God, to the Father and the Spirit. He can bring our thoughts, our urgings, our desires, our sorrows, and our broken heart to God. That's why Paul says that we have the Spirit who prays within us with groanings too deep for words. He can bring our otherwise unutterable sighs and sorrows to the throne. And it's through that that he comforts. And he pours out his gifts. Spirit of truth, spirit of filial adoption, of wisdom, understanding, insight. Isaiah talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Paul will talk about the gifts of the Spirit. To speak in many languages, to teach, to educate. All of these different fruits of the Spirit are given to console us. It's the Spirit of truth. Recognizing that we don't live our lives, according to what Oprah says, speaking your truth. John Henry Newman, saint, cardinal of the church, great convert, writes in the essay on the development of Christian doctrine that Christianity is long past becoming the reasoning of individual minds and private opinion. In fact, it's public monument. We don't speak our truth. It's not relative, but it's objective, and we ascend to it. And we descend into it when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, because it's placed in our heart, the Spirit of truth. Everywhere present and filling all things. The problem with being everywhere present is that it's too close to our gaze. It's like being too close to the elephant. We can't see it. We got to back up. And it takes churches to back up and to show us the God who is everywhere present and filling all things, to back up so that we could see in specific for who he is. So that's why we need a church. That's why we need a St. Mary's Byzantine Catholic Church. To be a space to come into clear view of the God who is everywhere present and filling all things, lest we forget about him. He's so humble that we could just pretend that he doesn't exist and he'd be okay. That's why we're doing things like this gala. You guys do a lot of stupid stuff. Your parents did stupid stuff for you. You know what one of the stupidest things? The selling of popcorn. How many of you guys have participated in this ridiculous thing where you got to sell this popcorn in this can just so your parents or your kids can make sure that you have a uniform that you're going to outgrow? It's gross. But you do it because you love them. You will sell popcorn. We will make of ourselves prostitutes for popcorn. We'll go into the workplace and we'll go into our friend's house. We'll go onto Facebook. And we will make of our bodies a living sacrifice for this popcorn. There's something a whole lot more significant going on when you receive this invitation to this gala, and when you're invited to invite your friends, when you're invited to participate, to go to your employers, to go to your friends, go to strangers. Because to not have a St. Mary's is to not have a place where the God who is everywhere present and filling all things can come into full view. Where the Spirit of truth can be heard. Where our groanings, too deep for words, can ascend to heaven. Not heavy like our sorrows feel, but light like the incense that goes to the ceiling. Treasury of blessings and giver of life. The Spirit is the giver of all good gifts. It's the way in which we relate to God. What have we given? What do we have that we have not received? Our life is not our own. We didn't choose to be born. Many of us didn't choose to be reborn. But we've been given that gift. And we spend the rest of our lives trying to catch up with that grace, trying to make good on the gift that's given to us. And all of the different ways that the Lord has been good to us in our life. The Lord gave me a spouse who loves me beyond belief, even when I don't deserve it. What a gift. Gives me you. I'm so grateful for you. It's a gift of the Spirit. Claire was here, gone last weekend. You know why? She went to go see the Deeks. What a beautiful friendship that is. It's a beautiful friendship that is in the Spirit. That would not be, not have reason to go to Philadelphia were it not for the gift of the Spirit of friendship that comes about in this church. Yeah. Giver of life. It belongs to the Lord and only the Lord to give life. That's why we can call the Spirit God and not something less than. Certainly not like the weird feeling in our stomach that tells me I don't wanna. It's somebody else that's in. Come and dwell within us. Not only does that heavenly King reign up on earth, but through the gift of the sacraments, through baptism, through chrismation, every time we receive the Eucharist, that God on high, hidden by the cherubim and seraphim, six-winged, many-eyed, soaring aloft on their wings, dwells in us. There's a reason that we don't depict the Holy Spirit in an icon. He's in the form of a dove. That's biblical evidence. But we don't depict the Father in Byzantine iconography because we know that Jesus is the icon, is the image of God. And he who has seen me, Jesus tells us, has seen the Father. And the Spirit is not depicted either. And the reason for that is that we are icons of the Spirit. When they consecrate a new church in the Byzantine tradition, before the altar is washed with wine and rose water, before the relics are placed in the altar stone, before the Eucharist is brought forth, there's a series of prayers that the bishop will say, and he does it on his knees. And he doesn't kneel east like we usually do, but he kneels facing us. Because at that point, the only temples of the Spirit are you and me. It's a gracious thing that we get to participate in. Cleanse us of all stain. Maybe I don't like all this sinner language. But if you hear the gift of the Holy Spirit for what it is, as I've been explaining, if he is to dwell in us, we have to make room for him. And sin cannot abide with the Holy Spirit. And when all of that cleansing has finally taken place, the good one, who is good but God alone, the gracious one, can save us. This is the prayer that we pray every day. Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, everywhere present and filling all things, Treasury of blessings and Giver of life, come and dwell within us, cleanse us of all stain, and save our souls, O Gracious One. This is the power that this church gives us. And it's worth sacrificing for. Because without it, we'll be deprived of spaces that gives the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the sacraments, the gifts of friendship, the gifts of reconciliation, and the gift that proclaims to the world what's true, what's good, what's beautiful. And that, for me, and I invite you to do the same, is worth sacrificing for. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.